Welcome back to the Wednesday edition of Sports Call Live on Tiger 95.9, SportsCallAuburn.com. Ryan Lavoie, Tom Peavy, Javon Cutler, Brooks Childress with you today. Reminder, J.J. Jackson will be on the call of the SEC Network Plus Auburn Baseball tonight, so he'll be back with us tomorrow. But we're pleased now to go to our Auburn Bank phone line and be joined by Brandon Marcello of 247 Sports, covering college football nationally for 247. Brandon, it's good to have you back on the program. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. Before we get into college football, we've not talked to you in a few weeks. I just wanted to get your impressions of a crazy NCAA basketball tournament and then an ensuing crazy transfer portal. There's been a lot of basketball stuff going on the last month.
Yeah, an incredible tournament. Despite not having big crowds or whatever, it's still very dramatic and fun to watch. And you know, that Baylor team was something else, super athletic. And, I'm very much looking forward to us being able to see student sections filled back up and getting back into that home court atmosphere for a lot of these teams. But you're exactly right about the transfer portal. Man, it just seems like a lot of teams now are just not building their rosters around it, but certainly supplementing and then some. I mean, Auburn, of course, picking up Desi. Yesterday, I believe, and Arkansas, you know, they lost several players, but that's kind of their MO at Arkansas now. They just reload with guys in the transfer portal. That's how they built their team. They went to the Elite Eight this year. You know, Tennessee picking up Justin Powell. It's almost like a trading block, but with some even bigger stars, and so to speak, and more of them in college basketball. It's kind of crazy.
So Brandon, talking now about spring games here, we're right in the middle of them. I think most of them have gone on already, but I think Ole Miss, some others might have some this weekend. How much spring action have you been able to take in?
You know, there were 7 SEC spring games last Saturday, and I probably watched the majority of 4 or 5 of them and then some highlights of some others. There's only so much you can learn from spring practices and especially spring games when things are – you know, kind of built for certain players to look good or, you know, offenses to look good or defense to look good, depending on what the coaches are just going for that day in that scrimmage. But, you know, across the SEC, at least, you know, you look at Alabama and everybody wanted to see what Bryce Young could do. I don't think he disappointed at all at quarterback. Auburn, of course, I wanted to see if that offense had changed any. And more specifically, I wanted to see if Bo Nix had improved at all just with his technique and fundamentals. He's still a little shaky, which gives me some concern, but it's early yet with Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo coaching him. So we'll see in preseason camp how that comes along. Hank Bigsby, of course, really is going to be a big-time player for Auburn and in the SEC and nationally. And then, you know, this weekend, I'm really looking forward to watching Ole Miss. I want to see if that defense has gotten any better. Their defense was really bad last season. If its defense could just improve a little bit, that could be a 7 or 8 win team in the SEC. And then you go over to Texas, the start of the Steve Sarkisian era. It's really been kind of one of those situations where they're just trying to mix and match guys or moving guys around a lot of positions. They've got a quarterback battle going on between 2 really good quarterbacks. But, you know, they've got some really good players on that roster still. And Steve Sarkisian, great play caller, and has also been a great head coach at Washington, USC before. And I think that's one of the big games I had circled no matter what weekend throughout spring football was that Texas spring game, because they're going to be very talented and a team that could maybe take that next step this year with a different coach and different philosophy.
Brandon, you touched on a little bit with Auburn, but diving a little bit deeper into that, what are some of the things that you saw from Auburn that you were able to take away? Obviously, you can't take away much from an 8A game, but there had to be some things, especially on offense, quarterback under center, throwing a tight end, some different things that maybe jumped out to you when you watched them.
You know, you can't really tell much other than, you know, like I said, Bo Nix's fundamentals have got to improve. They're trying to get the ball out of his hand a little bit more quickly. You could tell that with some of the play calls they're doing, which is a good idea. And then, of course, the offensive line, we're really not going to know what's going on there until they start the season, but that's still a big concern of mine. especially in the running game. I mean, Tank had that big run I saw, but he was untouched, and it wasn't one of those situations where it was just great blocking. It just seemed like that he found a right hole and got through it, and there wasn't anybody around him. I think that they've really got to develop a two dynamic receivers. I don't know if they've quite got that on that roster right now, but they need one or two guys to really step up to take over those roles that have been left open by guys like Anthony Schwartz. And of course, goodness gracious, why am I blanking on his name? Seth Williams.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, so they've got to have guys step up to help Bo Nix. Otherwise, I think this offense is going to struggle a little bit this year. And I think they just really need to lean on Tank Bigsby and see if everybody else can kind of rally around him.
Brandon, switching over to the defensive side of the ball for Auburn, how do you see this defense faring under new defensive coordinator Derek Mason this upcoming season?
Man, it should be really good. The talent's there. The depth is there. I think the linebackers are going to be really good. The defensive line is going to be good with Derek Hall and the pass rushers that they've got. That secondary, I have some questions about, but we'll see. But otherwise, I think that's going to be a really good unit. It's going to improve upon what they did last season. And it's probably going to be a top 25 defense this upcoming year, I believe.
Brandon, moving away from Auburn for just a little bit, but sticking with the SEC, I noticed a story you wrote the other day, and because I had this question myself, and I'm not one of those guys that religiously follows ESPN FPI, but I know some people really care a lot about it, and it had Mississippi State in the top 10, and not the SEC, in the country. So why is that?
Yeah, it's, the FPI, like any of these computer systems, they've got certain factors that they go into it, whether it's returning talent, production, and then also the tenure of a coach. So Mike Leach is a guy who's been in college football for a long time, so they take that into consideration. So Mississippi State's got a lot of returning talent and starters coming back from last season. They, of course, have a coach who's been a head coach for almost 20 years now in FBS college football. And so it's almost like Mississippi State kind of gamed the system, so to speak. It was like, hey, you know, what are the perfect ingredients just so we can get a higher ranking in here? And of course, you know, Mississippi State's not doing that for the FBI's sake, but it just fit perfectly in that formula that the FBI has for preseason rankings. Now, I will say this about the FBI. During the season, it's a pretty good system. It's a pretty good predictor of point spreads and things of that sort, and rankings for that matter, when you get into the season. I really trust the rankings when they are during the season, but the rankings in the preseason, boy, are they just, there's always a weird outlier or two in there, and Mississippi State is that team this preseason. Having said that, you know, I wrote that article, that column yesterday, and I spoke to an insider at Mississippi State, talked a little bit about the talent they have coming back. This is a team for them that should be able to win maybe 7 games this upcoming year, maybe challenge to win 8, which for them, considering what they went through last season and having to go through a new offense and learning everything, would be viewed as a success, if not necessarily, obviously, a top 10 season.
Brandon, looking around the Southeastern Conference, as we're exiting spring, heading into summer, and we start to look towards summer workouts and then down the road and look at fall camp, which quarterback battle, because there's a few interesting ones around the conference. You're losing, conference is losing some good quarterbacks this offseason. Which quarterback battle are you most interested in watching as we go into the start of the fall camps in August?
It's a great question. You know, maybe Texas A&M, and we get to watch their spring game this upcoming weekend as well. Just because I want to see if Jimbo Fisher still has that magic touch with the quarterback. I mean, last year they went 9-1, and obviously with Kellen Mond, it was one of those situations where it just seems like every year he just incrementally got better, but not by much. And I want to see them take the next step at the quarterback spot. I want to see if they can develop an elite quarterback. And with their quarterback battle going on, I don't think they'll settle that until preseason camp. But I want to see if those two guys really have what it takes to be elite quarterbacks in the SEC. That, to me, is the biggest quarterback battle. You know, you'd be surprised at a lot of these schools. They've kind of got their quarterback situations figured out, even though there's quote-unquote battles going on or whatever. Like Arkansas, that's pretty clear that KJ Jefferson's going to be their guy. And even at, outside the SEC, a place like Oregon, where there's a what everybody is saying is a pretty heated battle, I keep hearing that it appears Anthony Brown is going to be their guy, and it's pretty clear that it is. But, you know, I think that when you look across the country, not just in the SEC, a lot of these situations they've got figured out. But in the SEC, you talk about quarterbacks and a lot of great quarterbacks leaving. But I think, you know, we always go through this kind of turnover every 2 to 3 years where we're going, well, who's going to be the next guys to step up in the SEC? And we always see three of them about. It's usually three that are great to elite, in my opinion. And I think it's possible, especially at Florida, that Emory Jones might be a guy that comes out of nowhere to a lot of people and becomes one of those guys. And, of course, at Georgia, JT Daniels, I think he's going to be the top quarterback in the SEC. And then another guy no one talks about, Matt Corral at Ole Miss. I mean, he was averaging 333.7 passing yards per game last season, I believe, and is probably the best or second best behind JT Daniels, returning starter in the SEC. So there's a lot of talent, and there's some guys that no one's really talking about nationally that are going to put up really great numbers this year. Yeah.
Well, Brandon, you mentioned JT Daniels in Georgia, and I don't know, I guess over there in Athens, it seems like they say this every year, that this is the year. Well, I'm hearing it again that because of the showing that JT Daniels had in their G-Day game, and then just the guys that they have coming back. Is this Georgia's year? Is this the year that they finally break that snide from 1980?
I don't know. It's difficult to say. I don't think they're the most talented team in the country. I think Ohio State might end up being that team, at least on paper, and maybe Alabama behind them, then followed maybe by Georgia. But, you know, for Georgia, this is a year that's been circled on the calendar for a while, and, you know, the pressure is kind of on Kirby Smart to get them to the promised land, which is, I mean, goodness gracious, it's difficult to impossible to do when you're even in a top five job, let alone, you know, one where you're still winning double-digit games every year, and right, yet everybody's still disappointed. You know, like just like you were saying, it's like, is this the year they finally got up a snide? It's like, well, Georgia's, you know, been pretty good. Yeah. But last year was a team that should have done a lot better, but they made the decision not to start JT Daniels till the second half of the season, whether it was because of injury or confidence in him, I don't know, but it was just a weird decision to make. Because now Stetson Bennett, who was their starter last season, as a former walk-on, is now the third-team quarterback. So that tells you everything you need to know about what the spot they were at quarterback last year. And then, of course, going to hurt them this year is George Pickens is going to be out for most of the season, if not the entire season, at receiver because he tore an ACL in spring practice. But having said that, the fans there and then even the national media and everything, we're all saying, hey, if he doesn't win the national championship this year or get to the national championship game of this year, when are they going to do it? Because they've got the quarterback. They've got a lot of really great pieces around him, especially on defense. I mean, that defensive line of linebackers is going to be stout. But they're trying to figure out what's going on along their offensive line. They have to replace two starters there. They're entering an offseason here after spring practice where they don't know who their left tackle is going to be. And that hasn't happened in 5 years, since 2016 under Kirby Smart. So despite all those expectations, they've got a lot of questions still to answer, even within their own house. So I just don't know if Georgia's going to get it done this year. But it's funny because they might win 10, 11 games and everybody will see it as a disappointment.
Talking to Brandon Marcello here on the Wednesday edition of Sports Call. Brandon, we appreciate the time as always. What do you have coming up next there at 247?
Well, we keep reviewing the spring at all these schools, and of course, about every Monday, I've got some special pieces coming out looking at the top storylines and, of course, the big trends. And then as we move forward to this summer, I'm looking forward to getting to do some more trendy stories about these blue blood programs and the haves and have-nots, so to speak, across the landscape. So look out for that.
Awesome stuff, Brandon. We appreciate the time as always. We wish you well. We hope you're doing well in Arkansas, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.